You're listening to Mind Over Motherhood.
Welcome to the Mind Over Motherhood podcast, your new favorite show for all things mindset, motherhood, and mental health. I'm your host, Dr. Curly Crew, a mom of twin girls, modern-day nomad, and MD psychotherapist specializing in women's mental health. I believe that life is full of challenges that can hold you back from being the best version of yourself and living your most incredible life. Your mind shouldn't be one of those things. So listen in each week as I share practical tips and expert strategies to help you manage your mindset, improve your mental health, and be the woman and mother you've always known you could be. So grab a cup of something delicious and let's dive in. Welcome back to Mind Over Motherhood. We are in episode 19 of season 2. And in this episode, I'm going to talk to you about how to get the most out of going to therapy. And I cannot tell you how excited I am that going to therapy is like kind of cool now. Like it seems like more people are comfortable talking about going to therapy, having a therapist, doing the work in therapy. It's very exciting for me. And obviously as an MD psychotherapist, it's a big part of what I do, going to therapy. Well, doing therapy with people and in my clinic, right? Unoya Medical, which is a fully virtual mental health clinic, we support women with therapy and meds, right? And so we're a team of family doctors, female family doctors, and we really love supporting women in a really holistic way. So lots of talk therapy, lots of cognitive behavioral therapy, even dialectical behavioral therapy. These are all different types of therapy, basically. And then, of course, meds and sleep support and learning all the things that you need to do to have a healthy brain. But therapy is a big part of what we do. And it's so, you know, therapeutic. It really is, truthfully, so healing to talk to someone else about your brain, right? And about how you're feeling and about how your life is going and, you know, your questions and your concerns, to have a really objective place to go where you can ask all those questions that you're afraid of asking and you can get the support that you need and you can learn a lot of skills, right? So a big part of therapy is skills, learning skills to manage your thoughts and your brain and all the valuable things that we learn in therapy. So as part of that, I wanted to do an episode about how to really get the most out of therapy. Because if you are a patient of our clinic in Unoya Medical, you know, if you have Alberta healthcare and you get that therapy as part of your Alberta healthcare, it's amazing for you, right? And if you don't have that and you have to pay out of pocket, like you really want to get the most out of your experience for your money, right? And also you don't want to waste any time. Most of us just want to feel better. We don't really want to be dilly-dallying, right? We got busy lives. We got things to do. So, you know, if you're devoting an hour to therapy, maybe weekly or twice weekly, you want to make sure that you're coming at it and getting what you need out of it. So I wanted to just do an episode to share some of the tips that I would have for you to do that. And some things that I've seen have been helpful for me and my clients, and just, you know, normalize going to therapy. Because I jokingly say that I prescribe the two things to every single person. One is a stool softener and one is therapy, right? Every human being at some point should be going to therapy. And it's not because we are broken. It's because life doesn't come with instruction manuals, and life and being a human is hard as hell sometimes. And what we've been taught, right, what the stigma is that we're supposed to be able to figure all that crap out and be just fine, right, without any support. And I don't know if that's the biggest misconception I've ever heard of, but I believe it is, right? It's like the biggest lie is that we're supposed to just be able to figure all this stuff out, all the hard things that it is being a human. Like we're supposed to just figure all that out without any support, right? Or that we're supposed to be able to get all the support we need from the people in our lives, right? Like this is not something I plan to talk about in this episode, but let's just break this down a little bit. Like a lot of my patients, when I talk to them outside of Unoya about going to therapy, they're like, no, I have my mom, or I have my sister, or I have my partner, and that's great. Like let's give a big round of applause for all of the really supportive, amazing people we have in our lives. But there is a difference between talking to someone who's not in your life, right? Like someone objective, a trained professional who's designed there to be there to listen to you, right? You can share more honestly and more openly and without fear of judgment to a therapist than you can, you know, a loved one. Okay. So that's one reason why a therapist over a loved one is really valuable. And then the second one is that I don't think personally, it's very fair for us to expect our family members and loved ones to be able to support us in the way that we really need to be supported all the time. That's a huge ask of our family members, right? It's a huge ask to be like, okay, I'm really feeling angry right now and I need to talk to you about it. And you need to be able to hold that weight with me and you need to be able to hold space for me and all that. Maybe they can't do that, right? And then that strains our relationships because then maybe we get resentful that they can't hold the space that we need. And it just can get a bit messy, right? So of course, I'm a huge advocate for having solid conversations and supportive conversations with loved ones. But I just am, you know, believe that having a therapist or a safe, objective space where you can just really let it all out, right? Say the nasty things that you would never say to someone, right, in your life, but that just sometimes you just need to say, right, that you need to get off your chest. Having a space, a safe, supportive space to do that is invaluable. And I just don't think it should always be our loved ones. I don't really think that's super fair to them. And it kind of expects them to have skills of a therapist, which they don't, right? It's asking a lot of the loved ones that we have in our family to give us the support we need when they might not have the skills to do that or the bandwidth, right? Now, on the flip side, most of the women that I talk to actually talk to no one. It's not that they're, you know, talking to their mothers or their sisters or their partners or their friends. They're talking to no one because they don't want to burden anyone, right? And if you're listening to this, I bet you know, that's familiar to you. I'm pretty sure I felt that like 3 days ago, right? Who do I call as I like scrolled through my list? Who do I call? Everyone's going through things right now. Who do I call? And this is where having a therapist is absolutely invaluable, right? And so, so important because you have someone that you know is there for you to give your things to, right? It's not a burden for them. It's their job. They want to, they're there, they're trained to be there for you. And so it's really, really valuable. So holy banter, Batman, before we even get started into the episode, but nice little preamble there before we get into seven tips I have. Actually, I'd probably even say maybe eight. If I lose count, bear with me, but 7 or 8 tips on how to get the most out of going to therapy. Number one, set your goals for therapy. Okay. So every time I have a meet and greet with women, after they've told me all the things, a woman, after that she's told me all the things that she is dealing with, I will say, and so what are your goals for coming to work with us in Unoya Medical? And I think this is so important because like, do you do anything in your life without kind of having a plan, right? Like, do you go to the grocery store is a bad example. That was going to be the first one because I've gone to the grocery store lots without a plan. But like, do you do important things in your life without any plan? Maybe you do, but let's not let therapy be one of them, okay? Because it's really helpful to have a plan and to have some goals, right? I want to learn skills to manage my anxious thoughts. I want to learn how to not be so irritable with my family. I want to learn how to set better boundaries with my parents. You know, whatever it is. Now, it's also okay if you don't know what your goals should be, because as part of a good therapy session, your therapist will help you find those goals. But it's important for yourself. Like, what are you actually there for? Like, why are you investing the time and maybe the money? What are you hoping to change? Even if your goal is, I just want to feel better. Like, what does that look like? Does that mean you're sleeping better? Does that mean you feel happier? Like, let's get really, really granular about what are the goals for therapy. So when you're planning to see a therapist, I would even encourage you to write down, like, what is the point here? What am I doing here? Why am I coming to therapy? Even if your goal is, I want to have a safe space to express myself, that's a goal. It helps your therapist as well know what the goals are so that she can or he can help get you there, right? It's kind of like you guys are getting in a car together and like you're driving, but maybe the therapist is giving you directions. But if she doesn't know where you want to go, she's not going to be able to get you there, right? So setting some goals and communicating them with your therapist, super, super helpful. Okay. I'm going to quickly take a little aside here and drop a little disclaimer. I do not propose to be the end-all be-all expert in therapy or everyone's experience. Okay. In no part of my podcast am I ever presuming to say that what I recommend is absolutely what you must do, right? I am saying from my perspective, what I see works and helps women and helps myself. And I'm sharing that, right? It's kind of like I'm giving you a buffet of options and it's totally up to you to take what works and leave what doesn't. Okay. So by no means am I trying to portray myself as this expert on all things mental health and therapy. And I should say this every single episode, but I don't because I assume you guys know that. But, you know, this is not intended to say these are all things that will work for everyone. Okay, back to this. So the second tip that I have is really bring your honest self. Okay. So most of us walk around, we don't mean to, but we walk around and we kind of have some different like pretenses, I guess, about how we want other people to see us, right? Maybe you want everyone to see you as all put together, having it all figured out. You want to be seen as the person who has the good marriage or the great job or who never loses her patience, right? Whatever the thing is that you want, how you want people to see you, like drop that at the door when you go to therapy. You know, that is if you're leaving your house to go to therapy. If you come to Unoya, you just do therapy in your basement or your living room or your bedroom or in your closet where I'm recording this podcast episode. You could do a therapy anywhere in your house. You could even do it without a bra. We don't care because it's virtual. But anyways, so just drop those pretenses, right? Bring your absolute honest self to your therapy session and just say it how it is. Therapists are there for that, right? We are so there for that. We want to hear like, what's the most honest things about how you're feeling right now? So that we can be like, okay, let's deal with this. Let's unpack that a bit, right? Those are the things that we really, really need to work on. It's not helpful if you come with your kind of like shell or mask that covers up everything that's real about you. And I, of course, it's uncomfortable. One of the biggest barriers to therapy is what I hear from people all the time. I don't like talking to strangers about my problems. Well, fair, I get that. Do you like having your problems? Like, do you love not having anybody to talk to about them? Like, would you rather just suffer in silence or alone? Right? So I get that. I see that. It's very hard. And of course, if you have social anxiety, it can be even harder. But it's really, really so valuable, right? It's kind of being able to put those fears aside, drop the pretenses, and just be your honest self. That is how you're going to get the most out of going to therapy, right? So it won't be a waste of your time where you're walking away and being like, well, that wasn't exactly what I meant, right? I told her one thing, but I really felt a different way. Like your therapist can only work with what you're giving her. And so it's really important that you do the work, or sorry, that you bring your honest self. You bring your honest self. Okay. The third tip I have for you is to find a therapist you can really connect with. And I mean, really connect with, okay? Not just like someone who like seems good. And I say this to my patients, even if they're not, you know, in Unoya Medical or whatever, or they're male patients. And I'm like, go see a therapist and like spend at least, I would say 2, if not 3 good sessions with someone. And then see if it feels like a fit, okay? You really have to find someone who you think sees you, hears you, gets you. This is absolutely critical. The therapeutic relationship that you have with your therapist is almost more important than what you actually talk about. Okay. A good therapist is not going to be a good therapist for everyone because some people might hate my style, right? They might not like my style of therapy. They may not like how I approach things. That's okay. I'm not for everyone. And every therapist is not for every person. So it's very important that you find someone who's really, really, really good. Now, the footnote to that is, if you are stuck because you only have certain therapists to choose from, whether it's through an employee assistance program or through, you know, your local mental health support, like, yes, this obviously isn't going to be the tip that you can apply, right? You might not be able to change therapists on a whim because you don't like this person. I wouldn't say it's on a whim, but you know, you might not be able to change therapists when you feel like they don't fit. And I get that. And sometimes we're in resource situations where we have to you know, spend time with who we have available. And in that case, like 100% do that. Support in any form is better than no support at all, as long as it's good support, right? But if you are in a position where you can mix it up, right? You can be like, yeah, I feel like I don't really know if this is the person for me. This is going to be one of the tips as well. It's like, be honest about when it's not working, right? Like really evaluate, is this working? Is this worth my time and maybe money and energy? Am I getting what I need out of this, right? And that's really important. A good therapist as well will manage their own emotions in that place, right? Like to most of the people who do therapy that I know, if a patient asks to switch therapists, they are okay with it. They are like, not even okay. They're like happy because they know that person is going to maybe find a therapist who's better fit for them. And a good therapist has their client in mind first, right? I am the first one to say, if somebody comes and works with me and they're like, yeah, I just don't know. Like I say to them, please tell me if whatever we're talking about isn't working. Please tell me if our fit is not a fit, right? Because it's more important to me for you to get what you need out of therapy than for you to get it from me, right? There's no egos in therapy, at least not in mine, right? I would rather you find someone that is a fit for you so that you can actually heal, right? And so that's a big thing. A lot of people, especially women, will stay with a therapist for a really long time because they don't want to hurt the therapist's feelings for leaving them, right? For being like, yeah, this isn't really a thing. I always empower women, like, please tell me if this isn't working for you because I would rather find you somebody who does work with you better. Okay. So that's a really good tip for you. If you are trying to get the most out of therapy and you're like, nah, I don't know. I don't know if this is really a good fit. Like, reach out, see what other resources you have available to you. You are worth finding a good therapist for. Your wellness, your mental health is 100% worth finding someone who's a good fit. And it might take a few tries, and that doesn't mean anything, right? It's just luck of the draw, basically. If you find a couple of therapists you don't jive with, that doesn't mean you'll never find a therapist you'll jive with. Okay? Super duper duper important. Super important. You deserve to feel better, right? You deserve to get the support you need. And sometimes that means switching therapists, and that's okay. Okay. Alrighty. We are moving right along. That was kind of like 3/4. Okay. And what 3 was, of course, is like find someone you can really, really connect with. And 4 was be brave enough to change the therapist, right? Understand that it's not personal. You're just trying to find somebody that you really jive with. So be brave, change if you need to. Number 5, do the work. Okay. Do the work outside of therapy. Okay. It will not do anyone, mostly you, won't do you any good if you come to therapy and you talk, and the therapist puts in lots of, you know, energy in giving you strategies and supports and activities and homework. I often say, okay, for your homework for this couple of weeks, right? Or until we see each other next, I'd like you to focus on this. If we finish our call and you leave and you don't apply any of that, we've just wasted all of our time, right? So if you want to get the most out of going to therapy, you have to do the work outside of therapy, right? This seems logical to me, but sometimes it doesn't happen. And of course, it's not like do the work or we're done. Like I'm not like punitive. And if you ever come back to me and you're like, I couldn't do that. Like I was supposed to do that. And I'm never going to be like, God, I can't see you anymore. Like, I'm not your therapist then. No, I always say, I will love you and be your doctor no matter what. Like, I'd rather you come to therapy than not come to therapy because you're afraid because you couldn't do what I told you. That being said, try to do the work. Otherwise, you're literally wasting your time and maybe your money, right? So if your therapist assigns things, try it. Do it. Do it at least once or twice, whatever it is, right? If it's like, be mindful of your thoughts. When this thought comes up, try this instead. Right? Go, or maybe it's go for a walk 3 times this week. Do a gratitude journal, right? Like these are things that are evidence-based to help you feel better. If you don't do them, you probably won't feel better. So do the work. Okay? Do the work. Do the work. You'll thank me for it. Do the work. Okay. That was number 5. Number 5, I think. Okay. Like I said, I might lose track here, but whatever. We're hustling right along. So you do the work outside of therapy. Number six is you trust the process and you give it time. Okay. Now I want to qualify this. If you give it time and you trust the process, if the therapist is a fit, if the therapist is a fit, okay. You trust the process if the therapist is a fit, but maybe what she's telling you to do doesn't feel like what you want to do. Okay. Because there's a difference between you not feeling like the actual therapy is a fit, and then you just not wanting to do what she's telling you or not thinking what she's telling you will work. Okay. If you knew everything that was going to make you feel better, you probably would have already done it. Okay. So sometimes in therapy, we recommend things or we challenge patients, right? Challenge clients to change their thinking in ways that are uncomfortable. That's how we change. That's how we make you feel better. That's how we help you feel better. We challenge you to think in new ways that maybe are uncomfortable for you. Maybe you don't like it, right? But that doesn't mean it's not the right thing. Nothing changes if nothing changes, right? So you can't expect to feel better in therapy if you're not willing to do things that are uncommon and unfamiliar to you. Because when we do new things that are unfamiliar, we create new brain circuits. We create new ways of thinking, and that's what we're in therapy for. Yeah? Yeah. So you have to trust the process. If you're like, I don't like this, I don't want to do it, right? Like there's a difference between, I don't like it, it feels uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it still because she told me to, or be like, I don't like it, I'm not doing it, I'm never going back. Okay? So you have to trust the process. And that doesn't mean that you just like do blindly whatever your therapist says. It also means that you have some negotiation around what's going to be able for you to do. You know, are you comfortable with that? How does it feel? What did it feel like? Right? Having that really beautiful open communication that is so, so valuable in a therapist and client relationship. But that you also trust the process, that these things that you're trying to accomplish, these changes and this healing that you're trying to achieve, won't happen overnight, right? It's not going to happen in a week. It's not going to happen in two sessions. Sometimes things are, you know, the things that you're trying to unpack or the circuits you're trying to rewire have been there for 20 years. It's not going to be two sessions and they're gone. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that healing takes time, right? So you have to trust the process. You have to give it time. You have to lean on that therapist and hopefully believe that they have the skills and the knowledge and the strategies for you to feel better. Okay. Number seven, be accountable. Be responsible for your progress. Okay. In my clinic, Unoya Medical, I have very nice, healthy boundaries with my patients and all the patients of our clinic, right? I send a long document of expectations, basically, expectations of my clinic, expectations of my patients, right? And in that, we are in a relationship together, right? My therapists and my clients, me as a therapist and my clients, we're in a relationship together. And in that relationship, there are expectations, there are boundaries, right? Those expectations are things like book your appointments, show up on time, right? Be available when you say you're going to be available, right? And this is really important because as a therapist, I do my clients no favors if I do not hold them accountable to the expectations I have for them, okay? So if I said to you, you know, we have an appointment at this time and you didn't show up and I had to call you every time, or, you know, I had to call you to bring you to your appointment. Like we're not going to work harder than you. I'm not going to work harder than you as a therapist. You are responsible for your progress. You are accountable, right? Be accountable for your progress, right? That looks like, yeah, being on time, showing up, doing the work, right? You're ultimately responsible. The truth is that, and you know, therapy is a such a high demand, right? And meaning there's so much demand for therapy. So many people need therapy and want therapy. And so it's really important to me that my clients know that like you're very, very important to me. And it's so important that we spend this very valuable time together, but you need to show up. You need to be accountable too. Right? There's not just like unending amount of therapy available and you can just pick it up whenever you want. Right? And I say this with love, right? Therapy comes with a certain amount of tough love. And I say that all the time to my clients. I'll be like, okay, this is going to sound worse than it is. I love you. Please take this from a place of love, because it almost always is. I say this from a place of love, but, and if you hear that from me and you're familiar, if you've worked with me before, you've heard me say, like, sometimes I'm going to tell you things that maybe you don't like to hear because I need you to be accountable to your progress, to your healing. I need to hold you accountable to yourself, because what are we here for? We're here for you. You are important. Your healing, your mental health. It's so important. It's so important. That's why I spend hours recording podcasts and even more hours recording videos and hours and hours and hours with clients, because it's so, so important that we feel good, right? But it has to be important for you as well. So if you want to get the most out of therapy, you got to show up. You got to be accountable. Book appointments when you say you're going to book them. Follow up when you need to, right? Do those things. No one's going to chase you for this. At least not in my clinic, at least not me. I can't speak for other therapists. Again, I'm not every single therapist. Maybe some therapists will chase their patients. I don't know. I don't chase my patients because I expect them to be accountable for themselves, right? You are an adult and you know what you need in terms of what, like, you know, it's my, I need to go get some therapy. I need to do my therapy. I need to do therapy. You book it. You do it, right? And I will 100% always be there as a warm, compassionate, supportive, receptive, you know, attuned therapist to hear you out, to support you, to give you the skills, to give you strategies. You show up. Okay? It's a little bit of a rant, but it's mostly out of love. Again, like, I just really am so passionate about this, as if you didn't pick that up in my voice. I'm so passionate about this. I think there is quite literally nothing that is more healing than two women talking. And I know that sounds crazy, but the amount of healing that can occur between two women sharing experiences, supporting each other, whether it's friends, right? You know, two new moms supporting each other in their experiences as brand new moms and what the heck that feels like, right? Or a therapist and a client, like, so transformational, so healing. And therapy is just like two women talking on, like, just elevated, right? It's two women meeting, or not women, maybe men too, but it's just that I tend to be talking to women. You know, it's two people meeting on a level that is designed to improve one of their health, one of their mental health. And it's just, it's so powerful. So really, really important. If you have questions, right? If you are curious about how do I access therapy, you know, like, could I come and be a patient and you know I'm medical? Really, really great question. I am always available to answer these questions in my DMs on Instagram or via email. You can always send us an email at hello@unoyamedical.ca. And even on our website, unoyamedical.ca, you can book a meet and greet. And if there's no availability at the particular time you head in, you can also join a waiting list specifically for meet and greets. And you can find out whether Unoya Medical and virtual mental health therapy is for you. And then you can come armed with all of these, you know, strategies to get the most out of your time with us, because it's so important to me. I often say to every patient when I meet them in the meet and greet, like, your experience in this clinic is so, so important to me, right? It's really so important that you get what you need out of your time in Unoya Medical. And so I wanted to do this episode to really put my money where my mouth is. Here's how you do it, right? Here's how you get the most out of therapy. And here's how you really, really maximize therapy to feel well in your mental health. Okay. So that was a whole lot. I hope you found that helpful. I think this might've actually been a listener question and I don't remember that 100%, but I'm pretty sure it was at some point someone asked if I could do an episode on how to get the most out of therapy. So here you are, whoever you were. I'm sorry, I have since forgotten who you were that asked me that. And I hope that this has been helpful for you. Again, just really quickly, I never want to seem like I am being, you know, this big know-it-all of all things therapy, because I am the furthest from that. But I just love to offer some strategies and some advice on how, you know, to be empowered, how to get the information you need, how to get the support you need to get your mental health under control and just be well. That's the whole purpose, right? We want you to be happy. I want you to be happy. I want you to be happy, and I want you to do whatever it is that lights you up in this world, because women have the potential to change the world, but we have to be well ourselves first, right? We can't do all that world healing and world changing if we feel like crap and we're constantly fighting with our brains. So to that end, be sure, if you haven't yet, pick up a copy of my brand new book that's coming out in just a few short weeks. Oh my God, on Amazon, You Are Not Your Anxiety, How to Stop Being an Anxious People-Pleasing Mess. It's going to be available on Amazon June 1st. But until then, you can order your copy on pre-sale through my website at carlycrew.com. And there are some special book bonuses inside as well. I haven't really spilled the beans on those much, but there will be some special access book bonuses inside your copy of You Are Not Your Anxiety. So be sure to hop over to my website and pick that up. And as always, if you found this episode helpful, it would mean the world to me for you to take a screenshot, share it on socials, and tag your girl at Carly Crew, and let the others know that they don't have to be alone in their mental health struggles, that there is support, there is help, whether it is through this podcast, through my monthly mental health membership, the Unoya Collective, which is going to be opening again coming soon. Just after the launch of my book, I'll be reopening my membership for the second time. It opens about twice a year to the public, and it will be opening in June. So if you are looking to take your mental health journey to the next level and get monthly access to skills-based courses so that you can learn all sorts of things like emotional regulation skills and anxiety management skills and mindfulness skills, all sorts of good things, all related to your mental health, keep your eyes peeled for that. Or if you want to check us out at Unoya Medical and see if we might be a good fit for you for your therapy, you can do so at unoyamedical.ca or find us on Instagram at Unoya Medical. Unoya is E-U-N-O-I-A, and Unoya means a well mind. So thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening to Mind Over Motherhood. If you love this episode, it would mean the world to me if you could take a screenshot, tag me, and share it on your socials so I know that you're listening. If you have questions or concerns about anything I discussed in this episode, or have ideas for new episodes, please reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. Catch you next time.